Welcome to worship once again. It's great to have you here in God's home among God's children. For those of you who are a guest with us, I'm a missions pastor by the name of Nathan, and I'm delighted to be with you and to share God's heart and his word with you this morning. As I said earlier, we're going to be talking about Deborah, but not only Deborah, who is this amazing Old Testament prophetess, judge, leader. She's great. She points to someone who's even greater, and of course, we're going to talk about Jesus today, because we love talking about Jesus here at Cross of Christ. But we're not going to just be spending time with Deborah or looking at her life and ministry as amazing and remarkable as it is. We're going to be looking at a few different stories of women who are precious and valued in God's sight and how these women both receive and reflect and reveal the goodness of God, the grace of God, the glory of God, the generosity of God. And we're going to look at Jesus and how Jesus, through Deborah, shows us how he listens, how he leans in close to us, and how he finally lays down his life for you and for me. I'm going to say those three things again. Jesus shows us, through Deborah, how he listens to your hearts and to mine, how he leans in close, enters into the chaos and the dysfunction of our lives, and the good, and the joys as well, and how finally he lays down his life. He gives himself so that we could go free. There's this incredible story that I heard from a pastor friend of mine. Well, he's a friend of mine. I'm not a friend of his. He doesn't know I exist, but I follow this guy. He's a pastor in Texas. His name is Matt Chandler, and he has this great story I'm going to start with, and it really highlights and illustrates what we're talking about today. There are these four people at a movie theater, this couple, these two guys and two gals. I think the guys were friends and the two gals were their girlfriends, and they were wanting to see a movie. I can't remember what movie they saw, but they're in the theater, and all of a sudden, worst nightmare imaginable takes place. A man with a gun comes into the theater and starts firing. And what do the two men do, these two boyfriends, once they see the shooter and they see that he's firing on the moviegoers? They throw their girlfriends on the floor under the seats, and they lay on top of them. And these two men end up dying, and these two women end up going free. These two men end up dying, giving their lives for their girlfriends, and the two girls leave the theater without a scratch on them. In Deborah's story, in Deborah's context, in Deborah's life in ministry, we see a God who lays down his life so that others can go free. We see a God who holds women in his life so precious and so tenderly and so valued that he would give of himself so that they might go free. You see, Deborah is called to prophesy and to lead and to speak truth in the lives of God's people in a very chaotic and dysfunctional time in Israel's history. God has led his people through Moses and Joshua into the promised land. They are safe and sound in the promised land, but what does Judges tell us time and time again? It reminds me of the country and the day and age that we live in. These people did what was right in their own eyes, and they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They did what was right in their own eyes, and they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And so God, he lets them go. And an oppressor comes by the name of Sisera, and he holds God's people in captivity for 20 years. And so finally, after two decades of brutality and oppression and depression and slavery, God sends Deborah to deliver his people and to rescue them from the chains of Sisera. Sisera, I was doing some reading this past week, and he's not any kind of dictator that you read about today. Maybe he is, but this guy is the worst of the worst. So Sisera, in Judges 4 and 5, is this mercenary. He's this commander-in-chief, leader of Jabin's evil army. And what this man, Sisera, actually does to hurt God's people is he enslaves and captures young girls and uses them for his own profit, his own gain. He's a human sex trafficker, possibly one of the oldest we see in the Old Testament. And so after 20 years of this, after 20 years of God's daughters being held in bondage and captivity and slavery, God sends Deborah and Barak, her right-hand man, to deliver them from Sisera, Jabin, and the evil Canaanites so that God's daughters might go free. So Deborah, this mother of Israel, this prophetess, this leader, this judge who is quite aware and quite gifted and quite in tune with the relational and societal conflicts of her day, is called to speak deliverance and rescue into God's people, into their lives. She's called to be a conduit of God, saving, delivering, rescuing his daughters from Sisera and Jabin and those who would hold them captive. This is Judges 4 and 5. And I'm not going to read the whole story because it's a lot of content, but I will share this. Deborah and Barak join forces. This is Judges 4 and 5. They join forces, and God gives Deborah the wisdom and the discernment to know what to say and what to do so that Barak can be successful. Barak does not want to go by himself. He wants Deborah at his side, and Deborah willingly goes with him into the heat of battle. And what does God do? He routs Sisera's army, drives them into destruction. Sisera flees on foot. He goes into a tent. He lays down. He thinks he's safe and sound, and this woman named Jael drives a stake through his head, dead. That's the end of Sisera. That's the end of the enslaver of God's daughters. Amen? Amen. That's the story of Judges 4 and 5. Judges 4 is the story. It's the narrative. Judges 5 is the song of victory that Deborah and Barak sing over his daughters. And this is what they sing. On that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang this song. When the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. Hear this, you kings. Listen, you rulers. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing. I will make music to the Lord, the God of Israel. God's people are singing because their daughters have gone free. Their daughters have been released from captivity. I've been having several conversations with some friends this past week and precious daughters of our Father. And they've expressed various things that are going on in their lives. I was speaking with a woman, and she's raising two kids, and they've been through a lot of abuse in their lives. And so she's pouring out her heart to me, and she says, how do I take care of my kids? How do I speak life and love into their hearts? They've been through so much drama and so much trauma and so much chaos and dysfunction in their lives. How do I reveal Christ to these kids of mine? They're 6 and 7. How do I speak freedom where there's captivity? She asked me. And so I said, Jesus listens, as he did in Deborah's day. I didn't share that with her, but Jesus listens to your cries. Jesus leans in close to hear your cries, and Jesus lays down his life for you and for your kiddos. And he steps in, and he will show you how to shepherd them. He will show you how to speak life, love, hope, and healing into their lives. I was having another conversation with a friend. She's battling a lot of demons, a lot of choices that she made in the past, a lot of things that have been done to her and things that she's done. And she told me, she said, I feel nasty and disgusting and impure. I feel immoral. I feel like no one could ever want me or love me. I feel like I'm in bondage. I feel like I'm in captivity. I feel like I'm in slavery. What do I do? Could God love someone like me, considering what I've done and what's been done to me? And I said, yes, first of all, yes, absolutely. Jesus loves you, and he's covered all over all of those things that you've done and have been done to you. You're forgiven and righteous in his sight. There's healing and hope for you in Jesus, and he listens, he leans in, and he lays down his life for you, even as you wrestle with these demons from your past. The final story is of this woman who was a nun of 70-some years, 80 years, and she had been abused by her father in her early years. And so she had this view of God that he was distant and disgusting and wrathful and angry. And how could he ever possibly enter into my mess and my chaos? because I've been so mistreated and abused by someone who was supposed to take care of me and protect me and love me. And so this nun has all of this built up angst and anger and pain and suffering in her heart. And so she goes to this conference speaker that's talking about this good and gracious and generous God who forgives sinners and heals the brokenhearted, and she can't reconcile this God of love with her pain and suffering. And so she goes to the pastor who's leading this conference, and she says, I got all this stuff going on in my life, this past that needs healing, this present that I can't make sense of. And so he prayed for healing with her. Then he led her in a prayer, a simple prayer, Abba, I belong to you. And he asked her, invited her to pray this prayer over and over again when the demons in their lives would tempt her and lie to her to bring up the guilt and the shame and the embarrassment and the humiliation of her past. He said, pray that prayer, Abba, Father, I belong to you. And so she prays that prayer over and over again, and then she comes back to him in a letter, writes back to him, and she says, I've never experienced such freedom and grace and healing in my life since praying that simple prayer. She said, once I thought I was far off from God, once I thought I was disgusting, frail, weak, just nasty, impure, but now I realize, now I know that I am my Father's little girl because of what he has done for me through Jesus. Deborah shows us God's heart for his daughters. Deborah shows us God's heart for the women in our lives, our mothers and sisters, daughters, friends, cousins, people that we interact with on a daily basis, how cherished and valued and treasured they are in God's heart, in his kingdom, in his family. Deborah receives from God all that he is, and she reveals the loving heart of God to those around him, to the point where God's daughters in the Old Testament are set free from their captivity because God shows up. God shows up. We all need a counselor in our lives, someone like Deborah to receive truth and to reflect truth in our lives, amen? We need someone to seek God and to say, God, what would you have me say to this person or that person? And then to simply shut up and listen to what he's saying and to show up in the lives of people and to be near, to be present, to be with. I want to read to you from Isaiah chapter 9. It's one of my favorite passages in Isaiah. It's a prophecy about Jesus, the King. And to me, it speaks to what Deborah is going through in her day and age. It speaks to the need for a Savior and a rescuer. And it speaks to how Jesus has come into our lives and how he continually comes into our lives. Isaiah writes, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. That's such good news to my ears. Sometimes our country and our world, it seems so crazy and so chaotic, so dysfunctional. And so to hear that the government is on his shoulders, not the other way around, that's good news. Jesus will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This Jesus, this God, empowered Deborah to be a prophetess, to be a voice, to be a leader and a judge of freedom and justice for God's daughters. And he speaks those same realities into our lives today. He's a wonderful counselor. He listens, he leans in, he lays down his life. He's a mighty God. There's nothing, no one that is above him. He is over all. He's strong. He's everlasting. He's eternal. He'll never end. His words will never fail. His kingdom will never give out or give way. His throne lasts forever. He's a father. Jesus exhibits fatherly qualities. He's protector. He's defender. He's rescuer. He's guide. He's lover. And finally, he's the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Listen to these words from Judges chapter 5 again. When the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the man who willingly lays down his life so that others may go free. Jesus is the judge who takes the judgment upon himself. Jesus is the prophet who speaks life and love and healing and hope into our lives and the lives of our loved ones. Jesus is the leader who guides and directs, gives us discernment and wisdom as we interact with those around us. That's who Jesus is in Deborah's life. That's who Jesus is in our lives as well. I want you to turn with me to the New Testament. We're going to take a look at another woman, another beautiful woman by the name of Anna. Anna is in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 36. Like I said, we're going to be bouncing around to different women in the Bible and in our own lives as well to kind of highlight this God who listens, leans in, and lays down his life. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Anna is a prophetess in the New Testament, as Deborah was a prophetess in the Old. And Anna is a widow of several decades. And so she dedicates her life to the temple. She prays and worships night and day, and she's waiting and longing for this man, this God, this King, this Messiah, who will come and set her free from her grief and her mourning and her crying and her pain. And who shows up? Who has heard her cry? Who has leaned in close to her heart, who has laid down his life that she might go free? This Jesus, this redemption of Jerusalem, this little boy that she holds and she knows and realizes that this man is it. This boy is the one. This child is my hope. This gift is my healing. This promise is my restoration. And she rests in the knowledge that Jesus has come for her to deliver her from captivity. Go with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark is an incredible narration of Jesus' life. I love Mark's gospel. And chapter 5 has some beautiful, incredible stories of God in Jesus loving and serving his people. But in chapter 5 of Mark, we see this woman who has been suffering for 12 years, and she comes to Jesus because she knows that he has what she's looking for. So I'm reading in verse 24 of Mark chapter 5. A large crowd followed and pressed around Jesus. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and simply touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and he asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, and yet you can say, "Who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And Jesus says to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." I don't know what you bring to bear into God's home and in our presence this morning, but I have three questions for you in light of these stories from these beloved women in God's family. Where are you bleeding? Where are you hurting? And where are you grieving? I'm going to say those questions again. Where are you bleeding? Where are you hurting? And where are you grieving? This woman had been bleeding for 12 years. She had been hurting and grieving a loss of life for 12 years. But she sees Jesus, the one who holds fast to us when we can't hold fast. And she looks at him and she realizes, you know, this man has healing in his veins. This man has hope in his heart. This man is the answer to all my questions and all my problems. So she simply reaches out and she thinks to herself, if I simply touch him, he's going to reach back. He's going to heal me. And so what does Jesus do after this gift is given to her? He leans in. Who touched me? He looks for this woman. He looks for, he listens, he leans in. He's searching the crowd. Where can I find this woman? I know that power has gone out from me. I want to speak with her. And so finally this woman comes up to Jesus, and the text says that she tells him the whole truth. You know what that implies to me? It means that Jesus took the time to listen to this woman's 12-year battle with bleeding. And he simply showed up, shut up, and let her talk. And he looked at her, and he said, daughter, your faith, really, the faith that I have given you, the faithfulness that I have for you has saved you. Now go in my peace. Go in my peace. Where are you bleeding? Where are you hurting? Where are you grieving? Jesus enters into those spaces. He brings healing and hope. He brings himself. He brings his presence. He brings people, brothers and sisters, to walk alongside of us to comfort and to minister and to encourage. And he reminds us that those things that have been done to us and those things that we have done do not define us. They are not the final word over our lives. Jesus is the final word over our lives. His words matter most. And his word over you and me is forgiven, free, found. I'm listening, I'm leaning in, I'm laying down my life. This is who Jesus is in Deborah's life and in all of the lives of women and men who have lived down through the ages. Desperate, desperate for him, for his healing, his hope, his grace, his mercy, and his love. I'd like to read from one more passage to you, and then we're going to close our time together. God delivered his people through Deborah in a day and age that was evil, in a day and age that was tragic, in a day and age that seemed to be falling apart. We live in a day, and we have to be real about this. It sometimes feels like and looks like that the world's going to hell in a handbasket. And we have to be reminded that the government is on the shoulders of the Prince of Peace, and that his throne is forever. His words are forever. His kingdom shall never end. And this is good news for you and for me. I want to read this psalm to you. It's Psalm 48. Let this be a prayer and a song for you this week as we follow the one who listens, leans in, and lays down his life. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. In the city of our God, his holy mountain. It is beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Like the utmost heights of Zaphon is Mount Zion, the city of the great king. God is in her citadels. He has shown himself to be her fortress. When the kings joined forces, when they advanced together, they saw her, they were astonished, they fled in terror. Trembling seized them there, pain like that of a woman in labor. You destroyed them like ships of Tarshish, shattered by an east wind. God has shattered our enemies. And as we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God, God makes her secure forever. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Like your name, O God, your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Mount Zion rejoices. The villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion, go around her, count her towers, consider well her ramparts, view her citadels, that you may tell of them to the next generation. And here it is, for this God, our God, reigns forever and ever, and he will be our guide even to the end. Jesus listens, he leans in, he lays down his life for you and for me. The greatest picture we have of this is when Jesus has his arms outstretched, not in judgment, but in mercy, showing all of his daughters, all of his sons, This is how much I love you. This is what you mean to me. And this is the end. This is the length. This is the extent I'm willing to go so that you and I may go free. Let us rest in Jesus this week. Let us rest in him leaning in, listening to, and laying down his life for us. Let us be reminded that we are dependent and relying upon him for everything. We can't do a thing without him. And this brings me such peace and rest, realizing that he goes before, beside, and behind. He is our good shepherd. He is speaking life and love into your lives, into mine. He is the one who holds fast to you when everything seems to be falling apart. He holds fast. Let us pray. Father, you hold fast to us even when things around us and within us are crumbling and falling apart. You are the one who prophesies. You are the one who leads. You are the one who judges, and your judgments are good and sure and true. You are the one who listens and leans in and lays down your life for us that we might go free. Remind us of this gift of deliverance, this gift of healing, this gift of hope, this gift of freedom and rescue that you have given to us through your Son, Jesus, and empower us through your Spirit to be deliverers and rescuers in the lives of others, to speak freedom to our sisters, our daughters, our friends, those who are precious and cherished in your eyes. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.